なたのそばにないのに。愛ということは苦しいよ。愛ということは悲しいよ。
Everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. I was looking for a special discourse and I found one in the series called The Secret. It's a series of discourses by Osho that are related to Sufism. In the discourse today, Osho is talking about the limitations that we've all been brought up with and that we have to become aware of before we can really be free.
Man is a slave. He is not born as a slave. He is born free. He is born as freedom. But he is found in chains everywhere. He lives in chains. He dies in chains. This is the greatest calamity that has happened to humanity. The moment a child is born, the society starts transforming the child into a slave. It is not interested in free people. It is afraid of freedom. Freedom seems to be dangerous. A slave is safe. And the society needs only slaves because they can be exploited. The priest is interested in slaves. The politician is interested in slaves. The pundit is interested in slaves. These three P's are the most poisonous P's. These three have been the root cause of human suffering. And man will remain chained, imprisoned, unless he gets free of the politician, the priest, and the pundit. These three have to disappear from the world. Only then man can bloom into freedom. What these people have done to humanity has to be understood, because this is your story. How you have become a prisoner. The question is not how to find God. The question is how to get out of this prison that you call your mind, that you call your culture, that you call your religion. Beautiful names for ugly things. If you look deep, without prejudice, you will be surprised. Your mind is not yours at all. It is a conditioning forced upon you from the outside. The mind that you call is yours is not yours. It belongs to the exploiters. They have played a trick upon you. They have implanted this mind in you. And through this mind they go on controlling you. Hence they have been very much against people like Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad. Why they crucified Jesus? Why they poisoned Socrates? Why they murdered Mansur? These were innocent people. They had not done any harm to anybody. What was their sin? This was their sin, that they were trying to make a door so that people can get out of the prison, so that slavery can be destroyed from the earth. History says slavery has been destroyed. That is all bunk. It has not been destroyed. It has moved only from the grass to the settle. Yes, you don't have chains in your hands and in your feet, because the chains have become more subtle. They have gone into your mind. They have become more inner. On the outside, you are enjoying freedom, democracy, equality, brotherhood. Just empty, impotent words. Deep down, there is no brotherhood. It cannot be. how there is any possibility of brotherhood if there are Christians, Hindus, Mohammedans? How can there be any possibility of brotherhood if there are nations, India, Germany, England? It is impossible. Man is constantly at war. Each moment you are living in conflict. And how can there be equality when you have been taught from the very beginning to be ambitious? Ambition means you have to be higher than the other. Ambition means that you have to prove your superiority, that you have to prove everybody else is inferior to you, that you have to succeed. If success remains the God, ambition remains your education, how can there be equality? To talk about equality is utter nonsense. It does not exist even in communist countries. It cannot exist anywhere unless ambition disappears. In Russia or in China, there are still classes. Their names have changed. The labels are different. Now there is no class of the poor and the rich. A new class has arisen, of the rulers and the ruled. It is the same old game. It makes no difference at all. We go on playing the same game. All that we do in the name of revolutions is to change the labels. The real question is not how to find truth, because you cannot find truth unless you are free. Truth arrives in freedom. Jesus has said, truth liberates. That is true. That is only half the story. That truth will make you free. The other side is also as much important and which has not been told to you. Truth happens only in freedom. In fact, truth and freedom are two aspects of the same coin. They happen together. If you are unfree, you cannot attain to truth. And if you have attained to truth, you cannot be unfree. But from where to begin? If you start by truth, you will become victim of words, philosophies, theologies, scriptures. You will be lost into the jungle of linguistic, logical speculations. Start by freedom. That's my message to you. Come out of the prison that has been imposed upon you. And the prison cannot exist if you don't cooperate with it. That is the only ray of hope. That it cannot exist without your cooperation. But you cooperate with it. It feels safe. It feels secure. It feels convenient and comfortable. It feels warmer. And you have decorated it well from the inside. Down the ages, that's what man has been doing, decorating its prison cell. You have really made it beautiful inside. It almost looks as if it is a temple. You have painted your chains beautifully. You have covered your chains with gold and silver. They look like ornaments. Hence you go on cooperating. And freedom is the basic requirement if you want to know God. If you want to know at all what this life is and what's the benediction of this life and what is the beauty of this existence. If you want to know it at all, you will have to come out of your prison. You will have to risk, because the prison seems comfortable. And you have lived so long in it, you have become accustomed of it. You will have to come into the open, under the sun and the moon and the sky. You will have to come into the wind. You may have lived so long into the cage that you may be afraid again to open your wings. You may have completely forgotten that you have wings. This is the situation where man exists. But before we can make a breakthrough out of the prison walls, we will have to understand how the prison is made. What is the strategy? Of what it consists? The most fundamental strategy is that the priests and the politicians and the pundits have been substituting every real thing by something unreal. That is the most fundamental strategy. How this prison, this slavery has been created. They have substituted marriage for love. Marriage is a plastic thing. It can be beautiful if it comes as a consequence of love. But the priests have managed. They say first marriage, then love. Then love never happens. They have stopped your most significant part, your heart, from functioning. After marriage, you may start liking the woman and the man, because you live together just as brothers like sisters and sister like brothers. But there can be no poetry, no thrill, no ecstasy. Love will move on plain grounds. It will not know any peaks. It will not be acquainted with orgasmic peaks. And exactly like this, they have been substituting every real thing by something unreal. Marriage is synthetic. It is man-made. Love is God-made. Love happens. Marriage is manufactured. Beware of all that is manufactured by man. It looks like the real thing, and it is not. It is only a pretense. It only creates hypocrisy and nothing else. Man is living in hypocrisy, in utter hypocrisy. You are not what you think you are. You are not what others say you are. You are not what you believe you are. This is the most fundamental strategy of creating a prison. You are living in a hypocrisy. That is your slavery. And every real thing has been substituted. For example, consciousness has been substituted by character. Character is man-made. Consciousness is divine. A conscious person has no character at all. A conscious person is utterly characterless. He need not have character. Character is a very poor thing. A conscious man lives by his consciousness. His consciousness is his character. He need not depend on any outer discipline. He has inner light to live by. He responds moment to moment, not out of a certain dead habit, which is called character. He responds moment to moment as the situation demands. He is conscious. He has not decided beforehand what to do and what not to do. That's what character is, deciding beforehand what to do, what not to do. Creating an automatic reaction in you. Becoming mechanical. That's what character is all about. If somebody insults you, the man of character has a ready-made answer. The man of consciousness has no ready-made answers. He need not be bothered. He has consciousness. He has a mirror-like quality. He will reflect the situation and he will respond to the situation. Out of that moment's awareness will be his act. His act will not be out of the past, out of the memory, out of the mind. His act will be born anew in the present. His act will be fresh as dew drops in the morning. His act will have beauty. His act will have splendor. His very act will be that of grace. The man of character is ugly. He is dull, stupid. He lives in the past. He lives in habits. He has created what are called good habits. But why do you need habits? You need habits because you can't depend on your awareness. Otherwise, there is no need to have any habits. You can always rely. You know, you will be there fully aware. So why prepare beforehand? There is no need. Whatsoever is required by the moment will be arising in you. The society has substituted character for consciousness. Children are very conscious, more alert than they will ever be. You can watch children. That's why they look so alive, so fresh. Such a bubbling cheerfulness. Where all that disappears. And look at people who have character. You will always see a kind of dullness in their eyes. You will not find any spark. You will not see intelligence. Children are intelligent. They are yet not covered by layers of dust. They are yet not gone through the factory called education. They have not yet been cultured. They are yet wild. And they have still the freedom of the wild animals and the innocence and the joy. They act moment to moment, but we start cultivating them. We start curbing their freedom. We start imposing, do this, don't do that. Do's and don'ts we start imposing on them. Soon they will forget all about freedom. Soon they will start out of the past, acting, pretending. Soon they will be no more alive. Yes, people die long before they actually die. A person is dead by the age of 4. Then he simply repeats. Then he moves in a groove, in a rut. Then his whole life is just a long story of unconsciousness. Character is the cause of your unconsciousness. If you are not forced to have a character, you will grow more and more brilliant, luminous. You will have to, because you will not have anything else to lean upon except your consciousness. Because of these substitutes, marriage for love, character for consciousness, morality for religion, logic for truth, philosophy for existential experience, because of these substitutes, you are lost in a kind of desert. You have become unconscious. Whenever the question of truth arises, you start thinking immediately. That's your response. How can you think about truth? You can think only about something you already know. Thinking can exist only within the boundary of the known. Truth is not known yet. How can you think about the unknown? The unknown cannot be thought. The unknown has to be experienced. But people go on thinking about truth, about God, about love. People go on thinking about things which have to be experienced and not thought. But you have been told that become great thinkers and you will attain to truth. And a thinker is just a biocomputer. A thinker is never original. And you must have heard about original thinkers. There have been never any original thinkers. Thinking is not original, so how the thinker can be original? Experience is original. Yes, it is from the origins. It is original. Thinking is never original, it is always borrowed. But you can believe that you have come across an original thought. You may have simply forgotten where you have read it. You may have forgotten from where you have got it. If you search a little bit deeply, you will find from where it has come into you. All thoughts have come from the without. Experience arises within. The without has replaced the within. Thinking has replaced experiencing. But one can pretend, one can mix one thought with another and can create a composition and will think it is original. It is not. People start fighting because they say, I have to fight for my thoughts, for my ideology, for my religion, for my philosophy. The Christian fights, the communist fights, the Hindu fights, for what? They have been persuaded to believe that this thinking is yours, this philosophy is yours. No thinking is yours and no ideology is yours. You have been deceived. But you can remain in this deception because you are unconscious. And you have become unconscious. Because consciousness grows only with the real. With the unreal, there is no growth. It is like if you have a real tree in the garden, it grows. But you can have a plastic tree, it will not grow. It can deceive the bypassers. It can deceive the neighbors. But it will not grow. The unreal cannot grow. Character is unreal, so it never grows. Knowledge is unreal, so it never grows. Morality is unreal, so it never grows. And because you become too much attached to these ungrowing things, you stop growing. That's what I mean when I say you become unconscious. Consciousness has to be a constant flow. Only then you remain conscious. Consciousness is river-like. The moment you become stagnant, you lose consciousness. People are living unconsciously. It hurts to feel that I am living unconsciously. It goes against the ego, but this has to be understood. At least by the seekers, this has to be understood, that you have lived an unconscious life. This very understanding is the beginning of consciousness. There are three things which have been used as a strategy to destroy your freedom. The most basic is substituting the false for the real. The second is creating a division in man, making man split. Because whenever you are divided, you become weak. Naturally, you start fighting with yourself. Then you cannot fight with the society. Then you cannot fight with the prison. The prisoner is in such an inner conflict constantly, from where he will gather energy enough to break through the wall. It will not be possible. So another trick has been played upon you. You have been divided. You have been told your body is separate from your soul. You have been told God is separate from the world. You have been told the other world is the real world and this world is a false world, Maya, illusion. At least for 10,000 years, a deep schizophrenic philosophy has been taught. Divide. The moment you become divided, split, you are lost. Because your right hand starts fighting with your left hand. Then your both hands are engaged. And the politician can exploit you, the priest can exploit you, the pandit can exploit you. Your both hands are engaged. You cannot defend. You cannot rebel. My message to you is, there is only one world. This is the only world. This earth, this very earth is paradise. I teach you to be earthly. Because there is nothing else. There is no other world. That other world is an invention of the priest. Your body and soul are one unity. It is all one. Don't fight with your body. Don't try to be separate from your body. Otherwise you will remain a victim. You will never become powerful. And power is needed to rebel. Your energy is needed to rebel. Only when you are overflowing with energy you can be free. Otherwise you cannot be free. And the third thing that has been used is fear. You have been made afraid of hell, of punishment. And the other side of it is, you have been made very greedy for paradise, heaven, and the joys and the pleasures there. You will be awarded greatly if you follow the priest. If you don't follow the priest, you will be punished very badly, horribly. Man has become fear-oriented. No child is born fear-oriented. You can watch any child. He can even play with a snake. He has no fear. He can even play with fire. He has no fear. The child comes into the world as fearlessness. But we impose fear. Child, every child, is love-oriented. And every so-called grown-up is fear-oriented. I would like you to become again love-oriented. Drop all fears. There is nothing to be afraid. There is no hell. Don't be worried about it. And there is no heaven. So don't become greedy of it. All that is here now. This moment contains all hell, all heaven. And it depends on you. If you enjoy, rejoice, if you are in deep love with life, if you can celebrate, you are in paradise. This rotten society needs to be destroyed. We have lived too long with these prisoners, and they have destroyed all that is beautiful, all that is valuable. They have destroyed the whole poetry of life. But now things have come to a climax, and something is going to happen. Something tremendously important is going to happen. Either man is going to die utterly if you go on following the past, then you are doomed. Or now things have come to such an end that humanity will decide to take a new route. We have moved horizontally too long. Now we have to move vertically. We have moved in time too long. Now we have to move in eternity. We have desired and been ambitious too long. Now we have to drop all desiring and ambition, and we have to put our whole energy into the present moment to make it a celebration.
Blessed one, through the eyes.
The meditation of today is called What is Awareness? Become conscious of your consciousness, and in that very becoming, in that very silence, when you are only conscious of your consciousness and not of any other content, no thought, no desire, no dream, you are just conscious of your being conscious. The mirror is reflecting itself and nothing else. In that moment, something immensely miraculous happens. You become aware of the divine. You become aware of the essential core of your being. This was Osho Radio for today. I hope you enjoyed the program listening to the music of Deva Premal and Anand Richa, of Miten and Maniko. And the last number, we will finish with an exploding piece of dancing music by Karunesh. Thank you for listening and stay tuned to Osho Radio. Bye bye.